Is the learning in your school competency-based? Is it personalized? Is it happening anytime, anywhere? Is it student-owned? In other words, is the learning student-centered? And are all students learning more deeply, more equitably, and becoming career and college ready? If you have these questions, want to know what the research says about them, and are trying to figure out how to implement these ideas in your classrooms and schools, you've come to the right place. Thank you for listening to the Student-Centered Learning Podcast. I'm your host, Arthur Barriff, and I've been a principal and teacher in student-centered schools for over 17 years, and I can't wait to share a story or interview that will help you help your students.
Hello, podcast listeners. I am delighted that you decided to tune in with us today. My name is Jewel Williams. I am working at the Met High School currently in Providence, Rhode Island. And this podcast today is pretty much about student voice and empowering our students to use their voices in order to change the community. On this podcast, you'll hear a lot of my students' voices, and that's intentional. So in the classroom, you might hear some clicking of a pen. I apologize for that, but one of my students was very nervous. It is a scary thing to share your voice, but I hope that you would look past that, the extra noise. It's really hard to keep 16 kids in a classroom really quiet, but they have some really good things to say, and I feel like they really benefited from this project. The book that we're referring to in the podcast is The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. If you have not had the opportunity to read this book yet, I strongly suggest that you do. Your kids will love it. You will love it. And it's just a great book in order to set the stage for social justice and community activism. So thank you for listening in advance, and I hope you enjoy this podcast.
Okay, so the main question for this session would be, how does social justice issues, or why is it important to have social justice issues incorporated into your community and the school? So, like, why do you think that's important for us to talk about social justice issues?
Because if current events are happening around the world, then we should all come together and, like, talk about it and listen to our thoughts, each other's thoughts and beliefs and stuff like that.
So what's some work that we've done in order to get this off of the ground, to start to talk about social justice issues as a Met community?
Well, we did the March for Our Lives thing, and I thought that was, like, you know, a step in the right direction, and we did that cultural day that one time. But I feel like more now than, like, you know, past years, I feel like we've been getting more into this kind of stuff because of all the things that's been happening, or the things that maybe have been happening before us but is coming more to light nowadays. So it's kind of becoming the conversation of the nation and across the world, really. Yeah.
And do you think that the things that we've been talking about, do you think the book has helped us bring it to our attention, or do you think that it was things that we already knew and just needed to talk about?
Both. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like in some ways this book for me felt like, oh my gosh, it's not just me. Like, especially with the school situation, like how the people in her, like, in her, the school that she went to, the main character, how they all acted. It was like, oh, I thought this was just my school, to be honest. But, like different things, like, coming to light and, like, into other communities and things. So, yeah.
So how can we use our voice? So Angie Thomas talked about it being very important for young people to use their voice to change the world. How can we use our voice to do that? Or what's the importance of a young adult's voice? What's the importance of a young adult's voice?
We're the next generation, so, like, we're just bringing up what other people have it. And people always, like, companies and marketing always want to shoot it to young adults. As Angie Thomas said too, like, the young adults are the people that are going to like this and going to make it relevant, or the next thing that's going to be popular. So our voice is very crucial.
But at the same time, I think there is also people who don't believe in our voice very much, and that people are very doubtful of youth because we're youth and we're not adults, but we're really the most vulnerable, and we're the ones that see the most, like, hatred and positivity and everything, like, going on in the world. And I feel like almost when you're a teenager, you sort of go through those hormonal changes with the world and with, like, society and everything. So it's the most important for the ones to that are growing with it to make the difference.
Adding on to that, she even mentioned, like, if we bring up what's wrong, like, what's wrong with the society or the government issues, whatever, it, like makes you, like, oh, so yeah. They're noticing it more than we are, like, the adults, but also, like, a 16-year-old or however-year-old is noticing what we need to work on, why aren't we doing it, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what a lot of adults don't understand is, like, you know, back in the day when, like, we kind of had where, like, younger children were doing things at a younger age, like, I kind of felt like we lost this kind of sense of, like, kids are capable of doing a lot more than is, I want to say, almost socially acceptable these days. Like, a lot of young children, like, 12-year-olds I've heard, like, running businesses and things, and they're not being taken seriously because, well, they're 12 years old. Versus, like, back in the day, this is, like, life for a lot of children, and they had to step up, and nowadays it kind of feels like, oh, they don't really know anything, they just sit back and kick back on their phones, which may be true, but, like, we can be capable of a lot more things, and people can understand, and we can handle the responsibilities now if you teach us how, and how to properly, you know, handle these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, during Pick Me Up, you guys were able to facilitate a whole group conversation about social justice issues. What was that experience like, having that conversation with other people your age?
It made me notice, like, people have kind of the same mindset as me. Like, they're, like, saying, oh, this is wrong and this is right. And I get brought up, like, oh, yeah, I can relate to you, blah, blah, blah. And then also, they had their opinions, but not, like, in a bad way. They just had, like, more ideas that I never thought of. So that was, like...
I think in my group, I experienced a lot of, like, quietness at first. And it was sort of, like, we asked the question. It was just sort of, well, where's the answer? And I don't know if that was in maybe people being uncomfortable by the questions, which I think is good if you're uncomfortable because it... Not good, but... It means that they don't know how to answer, and that maybe that's something they need to work on, is like, how can we, you know, because this is real life. Like, once you're out of high school and you're on your own, like, you're on this stuff by yourself, and these issues are going to really affect us. And I think we realized that as a class, but maybe some others didn't. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was just sort of a lot, like, realizing that it's so real.
Yeah, I agree with Layla. I think we were in the same group. And very often, whenever we asked a question, the result was just silence around the table, discomfort, and then forcing someone to give some kind of answer. And I feel like if you're not comfortable enough to actually talk about the problems that are going on, because and none of the questions we asked weren't relevant to today's society. And I feel like more and more the problem is people just become ignorant by choice and avoid the problems that they need to talk about.
So do you think there was a better way to prep the community for this conversation?
No. Not necessarily, because I think it's so raw. How can you prep anybody for this kind of conversation?
Yeah.
It's there. There's no prep.
I agree with Layla. It's too much of a very blunt conversation where there is no way to prep for it. You just have to be ready for it.
Mm. Or not, you know, that's kind of okay too, you know, like, kind of get some exposure. And even if you don't really have anything to say, just listening and processing, you know.
As long as you're understanding and just of if you're in the know of what is wrong and what is right, I think it's okay. But I don't exactly think it's okay to sit there and be quiet through when you have your opinions, because if you have an opinion, share it, you know, because it could help other people in the long run.
But what about some people that might not be at that level of awareness yet and are just uncomfortable by
their
opinion?
I think that's the case. It's like, it would be fair to sit and probably absorb everything, but I'm saying if you have a voice, then use it.
And then the last thing I want to do is just reflect on our time with Angie Thomas. So what are some things that stood out to you about her?
How Star was resembling her in the book?
I feel like she was just a really down-to-earth person. She definitely wasn't some kind of stuck-up author. And she definitely talked in a very entertaining way. And I really can't say that I've sat in a lecture hall and listened to anything that entertaining.
She not only talked about herself and like the writing of the book, but like problems that occurred like through her time or her mom's time or her grandma's time. And they talk about like this and that, and then how like some of the people inspired her to write this book more or just spread the word.
And I felt like another thing was like I went to TEDx and like listening to one podcast about like how to give presentations, and like rather than giving a presentation, you're sharing yourself and your thoughts and ideas is actually a more effective way of doing things. And her like just her raw opinion and just the enthusiasm, rather than, you know, it didn't feel like a practice, you know, bullet to bullet kind of presentation. It's just like her sharing her and inspiring everybody else through it. And I really like that about her. I feel like she should do a TED Talk, honestly. It would be really cool.
So do you think her realness inspired you to get comfortable in your truth, even if it's uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
What are some ways you guys can do that?
We can do it.
Just be comfortable in your truth. So we talked a lot about, you know, internal oppression. We talked about, like, systematic oppression, and how those things do exist, and they're kind of built up against children such as yourself or people such as yourself. So how can you help yourself from being discouraged by that?
I think, like, helping each other out with, like, you know, just talking about these issues and, like, doing the research for ourselves, like, kind of like combing out our thoughts together, because like there are some people who just don't even understand what to make of it, and like not enough to make an opinion. So I think that would help, like people who like feel like they're in those oppressed systems, like helping them realize they don't have to stay there, and just because like you're looked down upon or like you feel like, I don't know, not feel like because it's there, but like in spite of that, you can still rise to the top. Like, you don't have to stay in the ghettos, or you can even transform the ghetto you're in. Like, you don't have to be the stereotype. You can transform it, you know?
And I think, like, with the, like, discouragement, like, it's just constantly remembering that, you know, by using your voice, even if it doesn't always work, like, you're benefiting so many other people who don't even know they have a voice and that don't get the opportunity and that just are stuck in those situations and that wish they could use their voice. And maybe they can, they just don't know it exactly. But, you know, like, by you getting out there and fighting for what you believe in, it's not just your opinion. Like, it's probably hundreds and thousands of others as well. Especially when it's super relevant. So just constantly reminding yourself that you're not only doing this for you, like you're doing this for the people and like for the next generation, for your children, for their children, and just everything beyond that.
That's a good place to end. Thank you guys.
Thank you again for listening to the Student Centered Learning Podcast. Let us know what you think about this episode or what you tried in your school by commenting on our Facebook page. You can also subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, and please leave a rating so others can find us. You can also follow us on Twitter at @STUCNTRpodcast. And remember, students learn deeply when they are at the center.